Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for forgiveness of our sins.
Well, good morning, church family and friends. We are fast approaching Youth Forum. We're on a collision course. And we still need stuff. And we still need housing. You got a house? You got a floor? That's the minimum. We'd like you to have beds as well that are not being slept in, because we have at least three congregations coming to us from New Mexico, and there are a lot of kids in that group, not counting the other congregations who are coming. Al, this will make what year of our youthy forum? 21 youth forum. Now, we could house them here at the church house, but we do not have the comfortable facilities that we have at home. So please start filling up the boxes in housing. Shauna would appreciate that, and so would Al and Tina. And also, we're still looking for cookies. You betcha. You betcha. I learned that from Wisconsin. You bet that. Right. This is part two of what it means to be in the kingdom, what the kingdom is all about. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught his disciples how to talk to God. In verse 10, he taught them to pray, "Your kingdom come." They learned that prayer from the king. We know later on in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus takes a quick survey of his disciples, also wanting to hear what the multitude thought of him. Some say you're this, some say you're that. And then Jesus focuses right in on Peter as the representative of the other disciples. But who do you say that I am? Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That became that bedrock statement of faith upon which Jesus would build his church. That rock solid statement about him. And so he said, "And so I will give you the keys of the kingdom." The keys are not to lock people out, but to let people in. We cannot do like some of the Jewish leaders did of their time, who were given the keys of knowledge and of wisdom, according to Luke 11 and verse 52. They were slamming the door of the kingdom in people's faces. They were shutting them out. Who is it for anyone to bar entrance into the kingdom of God? We don't shop around for church members. And sometimes I think that's a perception that sometimes outsiders get, sometimes a wrong perception. That I don't fit in here. I don't belong here. And maybe God would agree that they don't belong here, because if we have that kind of attitude, that we are the gatekeepers, the ones who say welcome and the ones who we don't want. The apostles were given the ability to have keys to unlock entrance into the kingdom of heaven, entrance into the kingdom of God. I love Colossians. He says, so may you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience. Because it wasn't always going to be plain sailing in the kingdom. It wasn't going to be all plain sailing as being members of the church that Jesus built. The kingdom that Jesus established. The kingdom that was brought to man. Revealed to man. Spoke to one of our elders this past week. Since we have a king, we have a kingdom. The church is the called out of the domain of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light. The church is that visible, made up of people who are in the kingdom. That's what the church holds. They hold citizens of heaven, citizens of the kingdom. Just like Colossians 3 and verse 1, he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek, go after the things that are above, where Christ is. What is Christ doing right now? He is sitting and reigning with God at his right hand. Does he reign over and a soon-to-be kingdom? You don't sit on a throne if you don't have a kingdom. And if you're sitting and reigning on a throne next to God, at God's right hand, the reality of that kingdom can be seen in those who are part of his church. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So you set your minds on the things that are above, on things, not on things that are on earth. You know, Jesus said to Pilate in his interview, I guess it was sort of an interview that ended up with a whipping, a scourging, a humiliation. They spat upon him. They hurt him. They scourged him to just inches of taking his life. What a way to treat a king. And they would crown him with a crown of thorns. First Timothy chapter 6, remember at verse 15, Paul says, he's the one who dwells in unapproachable light, the purest of light. He is Lord of lords and he is King of kings. Jesus says in John 18, he says, for this purpose I was born. I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this. My kingdom is not flesh and blood. Because we're told that flesh and blood ultimately cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But it is in the church that flesh and blood becomes part and parcel of the kingdom. And we wait for our adoption. We wait for our transformation. We wait. And we serve, as Revelation 1 and 6 says, that we have been made a kingdom. We are a kingdom. And we are a kingdom who are priests to serve God. We minister in the name of God. We serve in the name of God. We minister in the name of Christ. And so in Colossians 3, he says, seek those things that are above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, and your Lord, and your King, when he appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I call that coronation day. I don't think God wants us to wear crowns, not right now. But we all have a crown of life. And we'll get to wear that on coronation day because we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are members of the body of Christ. He is our life. Now come on back to Colossians chapter 1. He's just finished encouraging them to bear fruit. About increasing in the knowledge of God, in other words, growing spiritually. So may you be strengthened with all power, verse 11, according to the glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, made it possible for something to happen. In Acts chapter 2, those who gladly received the word were baptized. And you know what God was doing? He was qualifying those to be added to the church, those who were being saved. Qualifying those to be part and parcel of the kingdom of God. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 1 and following. If you ever wonder, what will I look like? What will he look like? What will it be like when I am truly off of this earth and taken up to be with God and to live with him forever? What will it be like to live in that eternal kingdom of God? Because we know that flesh and blood is not suitable for that environment. We do not yet know what we shall be like, but when we see him, that is God, that is Christ, we shall be like him. Love that. No aches, no pains, no death, no sighing, no crying, none of that. So get all your crying and dying done on here. All right? So we can go on to heaven and it'll all be plain sailing. Amen, church? Oh, I love that. Giving We have to give thanks to the Father because He's the one who qualifies us. Jesus is the one who justifies us, justified by the blood of Christ. He qualifies you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. In Him was life, and that life was the light of man. John chapter 1, verse 4. And He, God the Father, has delivered us from the domain of darkness, taken us out of the dark. The church, meaning called out. Called out of where? Out of the domain of darkness. And then what? This is a military town, if you don't know it is. You hear people say, I just got transferred. I've just been moved. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, out of that darkness, transferred, moved somewhere else, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, if that isn't good news, I don't know what is. That should cause anybody who finds himself in this a kingdom to praise God from whom all blessings flow. He's talking to Christians who, if you were to, say, review their previous condition before they got into the kingdom, you know, as a prerequisite, you have to put on Christ. You have to be in Christ, according to Galatians 3 and 27. You have to be baptized. And it really doesn't matter where you've come from, what you've done. I mean, if it could take in somebody who called himself the chief of sinners, it could accommodate you. It can accommodate all of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, here's a short list. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a short list of those who are not qualified for the kingdom. Oh, verse 9 it says, 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know? It says that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that goes without saying. I mean, if you stay unrighteous, if you live unrighteous, if you do not come to Christ, you do not come to the light, then you are still under the domain of darkness. You are still under that oppressive darkness that is all about Satan. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. You know, Satan has been in the deception business from day one. In fact, John chapter 8 says, you know, that's his native tongue. That's what he speaks all the time. He speaks lies. He mixes truth and lie. And you can't mix truth and lie. You either tell the truth or not. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral. Oh, here we go. Here are those who are not going to be in the kingdom. The sexually immoral, idolater, adulterer, nor men who practice homosexuality. Well, I guess those who make our laws don't agree with that. Well, I'm telling you, all of us will be subject to the highest of all laws. Just because it's legal doesn't mean that God says it's right. It says, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. They can't be part and parcel of the kingdom if they continue to stay that way. We're talking about a condition of sin, a condition of unrighteousness. You know, sometimes we try to qualify or we try to codify sins. You know, big sins, little sins, in between sin, like big black lies and little gray ones, and all the little shades in between. You know, slice it, dice it, put it in a blender, it still comes out sin, right? So let's stop trying to codify sin. Jesus came to die for sinners. I came to seek and save the lost. That's what he said. These people are the lost. You know, you hear people say, but they're not as, they're more lost than I am. I mean, if you're lost, you're lost. If you're living in the dark, you know, you say, well, I'm only living at the edge of the darkness. I'm sort of in the shadows. I've only got one toe in the darkness. Like I hear some people say, make sure you get all of that body down in the water or that toe is not going to heaven. It says, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And we all breathe a sigh of relief. Well, I'm glad I'm not going to heaven with that lot. Then he says, something happened here. Such were some of you. He says, but you were washed. They did the Galatians 3:27. They did the Acts 2:38. They did the Acts 22:16. Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Why? So that God can qualify you, put you into the kingdom of light, make you part of the body of Christ, make you citizens of the kingdom. Such were some of you. You were washed. You were sanctified. Sanctified? Set aside for holy purpose. He took those people and changed their condition. He took those people out of the domain of darkness, out of the influence. Satan was having an impact on their lives. You know, Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. He can, you know, he's a change agent. He's sort of he can show up as a Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman or something like that. You say, oh, that's a stretch. You know, he's even used false teachers who take pulpits when all along they are false messengers of light. Oh, you think there's no power in what he does? You know, he has power. It's a limited power, but it's power nonetheless. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't play footsie with him. Don't offer him half your soul. You know, if you offer him half your soul, he's got all your soul. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that makes the difference. Not only is God involved in this, Christ is involved in this, and the Holy Spirit of our God is involved in this. It says, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now come on back to Colossians. We talk about the strength that comes with all power. What is this power? It is the very presence of the Spirit of Christ. It is the very presence of the Spirit of God. It is the very presence of the Holy Spirit. Not three spirits. We're talking about one Spirit. Just different names to describe Him. And then he says, giving thanks to the Father. You know, 1 Peter 3 talks about not the removal of dirt off the flesh when you're baptized. To be cleansed of all sin, like old Ananias told Saul, you know. What are you waiting on, Saul? Arise and be baptized, calling upon the name to wash away all your sin, but not dirt from the body, but all the grossness of sin from inside the person, from the soul of the person, from the person himself, the filth that is found in the flesh, the sin that causes Paul to talk about in Romans chapter 7, he says, you know, I'm in a quandary sometimes. Sometimes I want to do that which is right, and then I do that which is wrong. I find myself knowing what is right to do, but he says, I do the opposite of that. And then he cries out, so who can deliver me from this body of death? This is what we're getting rid of when we are immersed. This is what happens when we are being washed, when we are being justified, when we are being sanctified. We're not being just put into being a member of the church. You're being made into a citizen of the kingdom of God and of His Christ. Throughout the scripture, God is described as a rock. Didn't you know that God was a rock star? Solid as a rock He is, and Jesus is cut out of the same rock. He is the exact representation of God the Father. You know, the spitting image. Remember when Jesus turns to Peter and the other disciples and says, here's the keys of the kingdom. Don't slam the door in their faces. We need to keep the way to God open. And we need to make ourselves available for opportunity to bring the kingdom to people. You know, we say, kingdom come. The kingdom has come. But you know, for some people, the kingdom is not a reality in their lives. It just simply is not a reality in their lives. They're not living under kingdom authority. They're not living under the King of who is Jesus. No one can say that Jesus is Lord and really mean it unless they are doing it by the Spirit of God that dwells within them. The only way that can happen is for you to be washed, for you to be sanctified, for you to be justified by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And it is He who qualifies us. I don't want anybody to be disqualified for the kingdom of God. Well, you know, when Jesus used that word rock, he was talking about himself. Not Peter, not the statement, but the person of the statement. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Would you go over to Daniel? Daniel's a long way over there, I know. But, you know, don't get lost. Can't find it, use the index. Do like I do, or did. I remember all these books. And then somebody told me one day, just shortly after becoming a Christian, said, have you ever seen these index Bibles? There it is. Or look it up. Daniel chapter 2. King Nebuchadnezzar, or Nebuchadnezzar, had a bad dream. You know, sometimes God comes to even the lost who are important to him for a purpose. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that nobody could understand what it was. No, it wasn't one of those dreams where you feel like you're going around a corner and you can't get around. You know, I've had that dream. You turn around and it's Ralph and Larry. Holding you back. You know, that's why I don't wear galluses. Oh, sorry, braces. Suspenders. All right. God reveals Nebuchadnezzar's dream through his man Daniel. In verse 20, this is what Daniel says about his God. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. You know, that's just kind of like the words of old Simeon there in Luke chapter 2. He says, you know, this child is going to be the one who causes some to rise and others to fall. Because he's a son of God. He is the Son of God. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness. And the light dwells within. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. Calling them out of the domain of darkness. God qualifies them once they are in Christ. The only way to get in Christ, the only way to put on him, is in the waters of baptism, where God does his finest work. He says, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter, the king's dream. And the dream is this. I know I'm a wee bit long today, but that's okay. The Lord may come right now and you'll be glad that you were sitting in church when it happened. King saw this great image made of various materials, gold, silver. And then as you look down, it sort of got more and more inferior all the way down to the base. In verse 34, he says, as you look, a stone was cut. A cut stone, but not made by or cut by human hands. It struck the image on its feet and clay of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. And of course, you strike there and the whole thing comes down. It says, then the iron and clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold, all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. Here today and gone tomorrow. It says, and not a trace of them could be found. I hear the Hallelujah chorus being sung, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. A little stone, a little piece of rock that becomes a great mountain. Something so small and seemingly unimportant to the rest of the world is the coming of the Holy One of God. Emmanuel, God with us, came as a small package, a little child, a little rock, if you will, but will grow in wisdom and knowledge and have the approval of men, but most importantly, he will have the approval and blessing of his Father. It says, but the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled all of the earth. And then verse 44 it says, and so in the days of those kings, in the time of these kingdoms, these men who have power, and the power that they have is not an eternal power. It's temporary. They are only in power for a certain amount of time because God says so. Satan only has power because God permits it so. You think Satan came up with all of his power on his own? No. He got booted out of heaven. When you start reading the Gospel of John and you start getting over there into Revelation, as it was so in heaven, so shall it be on this earth. John chapter 12, verse 31, it says, the prince, the ruler of this world, is now about to be judged. I'm stuck on Romans today. Another sermon, another day. John chapter 16, he says, the ruler of this world has been cast out. He is being evicted from this earth. You start reading Revelation 11, Revelation 12. The kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdom of his God and his Christ. Kingdom authority. Can't you see the little stone that became a mountain, that became a kingdom, that filled the entire earth? And we pray, may your kingdom come. It is here. Kingdom authority. And the last thing under all of what Jesus has accomplished is one day, the last day, he will hand the kingdom over to God when the last enemy has been destroyed. That is death. No more sickness, no more dying. And so in the days of these kings, the kingdom of God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Do you hear that, Satan? Do you hear that, world? We hear people who say, now, we are the greatest country on the earth. We are the greatest kingdom. What was it Hitler said? A Reich that would last for 1,000 years. You know, trying to compete with God, you know, an eternal kingdom. It didn't last too long. 1939 to 1945, it's gone. Talk about the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. Then it got chopped up into little pieces, all because of one little stone that grew into a mountain that is a kingdom all on its own, but a kingdom not of this world. A kingdom that is God's, a kingdom that is Christ, a kingdom that you and I are part of. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and it broke into pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A The great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. Oh, I don't know about you, brethren, but I long for Jesus to appear with all his powerful angels. I can't wait for that. But you know that there is a sadness there, because there are many, many, many souls who hang on to earthly kingdoms. Earthly kingdom won't make it right between you and God. America cannot save us. America is a great nation, but it will go the way of Babylon, Syria, Rome, England, Haggis forever. Scotland wants to be independent. I don't know. But I'll tell you, Scotland cannot save the Scottish people. Jesus can. And the Scottish people need to be in the kingdom just as much as the American people need to be in the kingdom. It matters little whether you're in Washington. It matters a lot to be in Christ. That's the kingdom. We are the church. We are the visible presence that says to Satan, the king rules, the king reigns, and we will keep the doors of the kingdom open for sinners to enter. You're not a Christian, I'm calling you to Jesus right today, right now. Come and repent. Come and leave what was described and all the other things that were described on the short list in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Come and be washed. Come and be sanctified. Come and be justified. Come and be qualified to be placed in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. Come out of the darkness. Come into the light. Won't you come while together we stand then?
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there.